daydreaming about dragons. I gamed a bunch this weekend. It was a lot of fun. I hope you gamed. I hope you had fun. I hope you got to digest good media and synthesize it into something new and wonderful. Or you're in the process of doing so. Maybe just digesting, letting it marinate. However you do it. I want to talk about something that happened in a game this weekend that was a good game, but I think it could have been better. And I want to talk about what I could have done to make it so. So I GM'd our Blades in the Dark game, our Blue Coat game. I'll have a link in the show notes to the YouTube channel if you want to watch it. And that game is going amazingly. It is really splendid. Not only has it been a lot of fun to play, but I feel like Lauren and Strash, who I've started playing with, have become friends rather than just gaming acquaintances, which is super cool. It's just thumbs up. It has just been an A-plus superb gaming experience where the game is also really excellent and really inspiring. Love it. Can't complain. Okay, so we had a case this weekend called the Unity Case. The first three cases that I put in this game, the way I did it is I made each one a part of the setting's history. And so this one was about the Unity War. And it says in the book that the Unity War was ended when the king and queen were killed. So I decided, especially after watching Killing Eve, that the king and queen of Scotland, sorry, who was at war with the Empire, blah, 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 there's a cool assassin. Okay? So the players are hunting this cool, badass spy assassin who killed the king and queen of Scotland and ended the war single-handedly. But everyone thought she was dead, and turns out she's alive. Her handler saw her handiwork in the aftermath of a slaughter she enacted, and he knew she was alive. And so he invoked this imperial mandate and got this investigation going. Cool. So I'm thinking about this character a lot, right? I'm thinking about this NPC and what is she doing while the players are trying to figure out what she's going to do next? Because I need that to be a thing, right? I need her to be mobile on her own and doing her own thing. She can react to the players, and that can change things. And it did. But I want her to have that path, right? I want that adventure to be designed so that I know what would happen if the players never got involved. So I'm thinking about that character a lot, and I'm talking about it with Janagi and kind of brainstorming, and she's asking good questions. And I'm answering them and thinking about it, and she's giving suggestions, and I'm taking them, and it's good. It's good brainstorming partner stuff. And I feel like what ended up happening was they thwarted the assassin from killing someone she wanted to kill so she could make an alliance. And there was a rooftop chase, and Inspector Tui had her backed up in an alley, and the assassin came out with her pistol out, and Inspector Tui did something interesting. Lauren had her do something really interesting. She just put her hands up and said, "I was just here to distract you. No reason I'm not going to get in your way. I don't think this would go well for me." And I had the assassin be reasonable, because I think I had been thinking about her humanity a lot. I don't think she was like Killing Eve, like Villanelle, who's just a straight up, I think, sociopath. I think she was had feelings. And rather than say, rock on, tip her hat and get out of Dodge, she started a conversation, which was pretty cool. But I think I took it one step too far, right? I had the assassin say, "Let's meet up and I'll share a meal and talk about this." And they did. And they kind of talked it over and came to an agreement. And the agreement was cool, but I think I could have kept the tension and pressure up for a little bit longer. And after the game, we did roses and thorns, and we did our usual thing of throwing roses at each other for a half hour. But Strauss had a really good thorn, which is, I think, I would have liked to have chased that assassin for a little longer. I would have liked that cat and mouse to have gone on a little bit more. And I think they're right. And I had a, when I was thinking about this, I was like, you know what? I have a memory of someone talking about it, of this thing, which I want to call reasonable NPC syndrome, right? And that's when an NPC is so reasonable that it kind of kills the drama of your game and cuts things short. And on one hand, I like it when sometimes the NPCs pivot and are reasonable, because I feel like it makes things more human and makes things more believable. But I think there's a fine balance, right? Because I don't necessarily want to deprive the game and the players of opportunities to do heroic, cool stuff. And there's a really fine line. So I'm just putting this out there. I'd like you to watch out for it. Reasonable NPC syndrome. You know, because I don't want all of my NPCs to be, you know, mustache twirling, ridiculous villains. Sometimes they should be. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want apocalyptic monsters out there every once in a while. But sometimes I just want a good person having to do bad things because they're in a bad situation. And the player is having to chase that. And that's what happened. And it got a little turned around. And I'm not thrilled with how it worked out. And I'm calling it reasonable NPC syndrome. And where did I hear about this before? I heard Vincent Baker, I'll link to his blog, lumply.com, talk about this years and years and years ago in his design process and how this was a problem he had way back in his college gaming. And he designed stuff to deal with it. But I think it's something we just need to watch out for and balance it. And maybe even, I think what I should have done is kind of said, hold up, let's take a break and just brainstormed a little bit and thought about it before having this assassin come out from the cold and, you know, end the game over lunch in a plaza. It was cool. I liked it. I liked that it was an understated ending, especially since our last game, our last case, the Wizard Jar case, ended like the movie Heat with De Niro and Pacino, only with ghosts, right? It was a slam-bang adventure action movie. So this one ending on a chill, you know, over coffee on the plaza was okay. But I don't know. I think we could have gotten a little bit more cool assassin chase out of it. And I wonder if I didn't make a mistake. And so here we are. I just wanted to talk about it. You know, I'm not beating myself up over it. It wasn't a bad game. It wasn't terrible. Far from it. And at the end, when we look back on the whole campaign, this might have been a really nice touch. But think maybe it could have been a little better. So, reasonable NPC syndrome. Tell me what you think. Tell me how you craft those NPCs who antagonize your player characters. I'd love to hear more about it. And let's see what the Inspiration Goat has. The Inspiration Goat has a pile of stuff for me. It's a little intimidating. What do you got there, Inspiration Goat? Inspiration Goat, these aren't even the same things. This is like a couple different, I don't even understand. All right, these two things in particular, or three, kind of? All right, I gotcha. Okay, so I've been reading a couple of comic books lately, and Inspiration Goat has dropped them all in my lap, and I'm just glad that they didn't chew them up at all. So they're still in good condition, and they're still readable, especially since one of them is a library book. Okay, what have we got? I've got Superman, Volume 1, The Unity Saga, Phantom Earth, which is a big deal because Brian Michael Bendis, who was formerly a Marvel writer, moved over to DC and started writing Superman. Okay, then we've got Powers of Ten and House of X, which is John Hickman's new take on the X-Men. It's like a two different six-part miniseries that really are a 12-part series. It's kind of brilliant and strange and wonderful. I don't necessarily want to talk about anything specific in either one. What I do want to talk about is the way comic book writers take a myth or an idea or a family or a bunch of fictional characters, and they find something, some corner of that world, some power in that world, some idea in that world that they felt was always interesting and maybe wasn't taken up to the nth degree, and they ratchet it up to the nth degree and then kind of see what all the characters do with it, right? So we're still looking to engage with characters. We're still looking at motivations. We're still looking at all the things that make stories good and make characters interesting. But there's a comic book bit where you're also playing with toys and you're taking ideas and seeing what happens when you turn the dials up and turn other dials down and see what happens to those ideas in the process. What survives, what metaphors that those characters are bringing out become more stark, which ones become highlighted, which ones disappear completely, which ones no longer work. And then you throw in the context of the real world and it becomes super messy and awesome, right? That's why this stuff is fun. So what does this kind of vague idea about comic book writing mean, and how can we use it in our gaming? I think the interesting thing we want to take is how comic book writers, and we can look at the Marvel movies and the DC movies or whatever comic book movies you want, and we can use those too as you know, the Inspiration Go didn't bring those to us, but they are examples of a way to take something, take one of the parts of it that you really like and leave the rest behind. And and ratcheting something up and seeing what that does to the setting. And you can do that, I think, in a bunch of different ways, right? We can look at D&D and say, hirelings. What happens if we look at hirelings really carefully and take them really seriously? And what if we then mix that with labor law and unions and guilds and mix that all together in a big bowl and make a game out of that? What does that game look like? I don't know, right? And it's just this one little weird section of D&D. What if we jump on it with both feet? And that's kind of what I'm getting at. What if we take one little section, one little theme, and just run with it, right? What if we take the reaction tables from D&D and just build off of that? The whole game is that. What does that look like? How did we make that exciting? I don't know. That might be a terrible idea. And that's one thing that you find when you kind of are doing something creative is sometimes an idea just doesn't work, or it's bad, or the metaphor is terrible, or it's downright irresponsible or ugly or whatever it is. But that's what is inspiring me about what Inspiration Goat brought me, is looking at comic books, looking at ways to kind of redigest old material and make it and take one aspect of it, jump on it hard and make it your own. And I feel like there's a lot of gaming goodness in there, right? Because one really cool thing about gaming is that you can take something that's kind of always been frustrating you about a setting and say, okay, well, let's go for it. Let's see, right? You can go to the X-Men and say, you know what? It always bugged me that they took kids out of their community. So let's do a version of the X-Men where there are mutants in every city who are helping kids stay at home with their families and integrate with the sapiens rather than, you know, superiors. It's interesting. How does that change things? The kids don't end up in a weird mansion in upstate New York that gets destroyed every 13 issues. And I don't know exactly how we want to, again, it's a vague, weird idea. And I might have to circle back to it, which I'm totally comfortable with. But that's where I'm at. And that's what I'm thinking about. I will have links to a recent review I did of Bendis' run on Superman. I'll probably end up writing a little bit about issues 1 to 3 of Powers of X and Powers of 10 and House of X, but I don't think that'll be up before the show goes up. So I'll, but definitely go check those out. Let me know what you think. I've heard a lot of buzz about them, and I think they're really interesting. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. And more importantly, I'd love to hear your thoughts about how comics and the way creators leave their stamp on an intellectual property, and how you feel that translates into things at your table. So if you've got ideas about that, I would love to hear it. And let's get to the outro. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to support the show, there are a few ways you can do it. You can hit the support the show button, and you can send me money every month through Anchor. And I appreciate that. A few people are doing it, and I'm gathering that money. I'm going to support a couple of different gaming Patreons around the Gamosphere, and I'm looking forward to sharing that information with you. It's coming. I'm getting it together. You can also purchase my book, The Dictionary of Moo, which is a science fantasy sword and sorcery setting, kind of set on a science fantasy version of Mars. It is also in the show notes. And the best, maybe, I wouldn't say the best. I do like monies. One other way that you can do it, if you've got the bandwidth, is you can send me an email, judd.karlman@gmail.com, or a tweet, or you can send me a message via Anchor, or you can send me an MP3, or whatever it is, whatever works for you. And send me a message about what this show or what one of the topics stirred up in you and made you think about how it made you think about your gaming and what's going on at your table. I would love to hear more about it. And if there's a problem that I brought up, you can talk about how you solved it or how you had a similar problem. If there's something I said that you want me to dig deeper into, you can ask that. If you've got a whole podcast of your own that you said, Judd, I was so frustrated by what you said, I had to go record my own 45-minute podcast. I'd love to see it. Love to hear it. And I hope we just all get to sharing this stuff and continuing the conversation. I hope that your summer has gone well. It's over. Goodbye. Autumn is here. Time for some storybook witches and apple cider. So I'll see you on the other side of that. All right. Talk to you soon.